Ukraine because we forgot to visit about what your mother cooked. Monica, what are the kind of the things she made for during the week, some of the different kind of meals she had?
Well, usually Sundays we had something made out of meat. And then it was potatoes and sauerkraut a lot, especially in the wintertime, sauerkraut and then pork. We had pork. And dessert, there was no dessert. Sometimes cookies or something, that's all, but there was no dessert.
What kind of soups did you have?
We had Riedel soup and cranberry schnitz and knip.
What was that again?
And noodle soup. What do you mean? Cranberry schnitz and knip, that's the knepfler soup they call it now in the United States.
Yes.
And noodle soup. And the borscht, I don't, that is more Russian. There's all vegetables. You can put all kinds of vegetables in there and cook it.
Some beets too?
Mm-hmm, everything, yeah. Every vegetable that can be thrown in there. And it sometimes, even though if you don't have no meat, it still tastes good.
Now, was it like the borscht they make here in Bismarck?
Yes, mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Similar to that. Mm-hmm. You still make your borscht?
Sometimes, yeah.
Now, what foods do you make in your home or when your children were growing up that you remember making in Ukraine?
Oh, I made the cranberry schnitz and knip a lot. The knepfler soup, they like it. And I made soup noodle too, that's noodles and potatoes in. And sometimes if I have some leftover sauerkraut, I put this in there and that tastes good.
Oh, I never had
noodles
that.
And yeah, uh-huh. That tastes good.
What about dumplings?
I think I seldom make them. I don't know.
You didn't make those?
No.
Cheese buttons?
Yeah, I make them. They're good.
Mm-hmm. Käsnitzler?
Yeah, Käsnitzler. Uh-huh. Or what do they call the Fleischkäsler?
I made all those. Those are all things you.
Yeah.
But your mother made those in Ukraine also.
Yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Now you came over later, of course, and living in Bismarck, you've met other German Russian families who their parents came over a lot earlier. Were they similar foods to what you had, or are they a little bit different?
Well, it's they got it almost. Some of it are similar, yeah. But there's a lot of added already from the United States, then yeah.
What about Kuchen?
Kuchen, yeah. We made lots of kuchen.
Over in Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of kuchen did you make?
Well, with all kinds, if we have some fruit, we put some fruit on there, on top, and we cream a little on there, sugar, yeah, all kinds, some kind of a fruit, apples. But we didn't have much peaches or pears. Pears we had some, but peaches, I never tasted a peach over in Russia. I never got
some. In Ukraine?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did your parents make any wine?
Yes, towards last, not during the time when the communists were on. After the Germans come in there, the land got divided then. Every family got land then. And yeah, we made some wine then. That was good.
When the Germans forces came in and you lived in your village,
yes.
How long, do you remember about how many months it was? Was it quite some time or a year at least?
That was a couple of years.
So you had a pretty good life then.
Oh,
you felt more safe again.
Well, yeah.
Well, then did you go back into the church again?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the church is opened again.
Church came, the priest came from other states,
mm-hmm.
other countries, not other states.
They came maybe from Germany over,
mm-hmm.
and you had church service again.
It was all German priests that came there, from Hungary mostly, I guess they came.
Were you glad when the church doors opened again?
Yes.
I bet that was a fond day, especially for your parents, because they were such good Catholic people.
You know, I went to First Holy Communion when I was 16 years old, and I was the first communion.
You were 16 years old?
Yeah.
In confirmation too?
Mm-hmm. I went to confirmation in Germany only. There was not, that time the bishops only could give confirmation, and in Germany.
So for your first Holy Communion, were there many at that age, or were you one of the older ones?
There was lots. Oh, no. I was not the older one. Mm-hmm. There was lots. Oh, the first year. Oh, yeah. You couldn't.
was lots of.
So you had a German catechism and you had to learn all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a number of years you couldn't have much of that.
Yeah. Well, usually at home, Pa usually taught us a lot from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And we were reading the Bible and all the books that, you know, like the Mass or the Oaths or something.
Did your parents receive any kind of a German newspaper?
Not in Ukraine.
Mm. What about here in North Dakota? Was there any kind of a newspaper you had?
Yes, there was one.
Was it called North Dakota Herald?
Yeah, the Herald. Uh-huh.
From Dickinson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you read that.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they read that quite attentively.
Yeah, they read it.
Mm-hmm.
Something. Even my uncle, he sent it, had it prescribed for us over to Germany.
Oh, so you were really getting it in Germany?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These documents I see are quite interesting that we're looking at here. First of all, why don't you read this in German and just tell us what this is, Monica, this document we're looking at, so that our listeners will know. Just tell me what this is right up here.
Deutsches Reich, that means that German Reich is the country.
Right.
And Gebirgungs Einbürgerungsurkunde. It means that you become citizen.
So this paper was proof of citizenship that you were German.
Mm-hmm. And I was still a little underage, not too much. That's why I was included with the parents all by myself.
And of course it mentions you were born in 1924.
Mm-hmm.
And you were born in what village?
Nilubinskoye.
And that was in Siberia?
Yeah. UdSSR.
Mm-hmm. And here now it mentions
Hansdorf, that's where the papers were made, in Hansdorf.
Uh-huh.
That was the date geboren.
Yes, very interesting. And this is 1944.
Mm-hmm. Liberitz.
Mm-hmm. And then we have this document. This was your Reisepass.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me a little about that.
Well, I got this in Zella just before I...
1957. Mm-hmm. This was, of course, in Germany.
Yeah.
And
this is a one here, 1951, September 1951. That's
51,
how the Germans make
it.
That's a one.
But here it mentions
Katarinendorf, Odessa.
Ukraine.
Ukraine.
So this is a real precious document for you, these two documents. You've kept these all these years. And when you look,
that's where I was living in Germany, Baden-Postel, Kreiszelle.
Mm-hmm. Monica, when you look at these documents, you know, they're priceless to you and precious, but what do you, does it, sometimes is, do you reminisce a little bit when you look at these?
Yeah, I do. This is the, I know this is a sad one here.
Mm-hmm. But it certainly is.
That's when we became a German citizen there.
Mm-hmm. Because you're a Russian citizen, of course.
Yeah.
So you had different citizenships at that time. Monica, you became a citizen in what year? Became a citizen in Bismarck, North Dakota on July 17th, 1956. And I'm sure that was a precious moment in your life.
Yes,
and at that time you were in Hanover, North Dakota.
Yeah.
And were there others that became citizens with you? Other German people?
Well, yeah, there was a lot of German people there. One of them from Hazen.
Mm-hmm.
Maria, I don't know what her name is.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them that lives here in Bismarck yet, a lady that became citizen at the same time. Her name is, where is it now?
I'm reading this item from the Bismarck Tribune in 1956 that the headline is 66 get citizenship in ceremonies here, and of course you're listed, but I'm amazed at the number of people that are names from South Central North Dakota, Central North Dakota, Beulah, Hayes, and Napoleon, and then of course Wishik, and people that I even recognize today, some of those names, but I didn't realize that they became citizens so late. But this is quite a valuable piece of literature, and of course there we see your name listed. And this, of course, was a new life for you, and you were officially a citizen of the United States. So you've had three citizenships.
Three citizenships, yeah.
You're
Russian,
and then a German,
mm-hmm.
and now you're American. Not too many can hand that. But have you gone back to Germany to visit?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have to plan that.
Yeah, I should, before it's too late, huh?
Can you think of anything else that you'd like to mention that we, as a remembrance of those memories? I think we've talked about quite a bit. I gather again that had it not been for the strong perseverance and faith of your parents,
yes. mm-hmm.
with such a large family, and not knowing where some of the members were, and then you and your sister alone at times, and your parents were already over in Poland, and then you were picked up by the German forces,
yes.
and mm-hmm. and fear of walking alone like that, and so and then the people having such a good life in North Dakota, and then what's happened today, with these people again, they're on the move,
yeah.
in the former
yeah.
Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
People are moving here and moving there and wondering what's going to happen.
I've got lots of grandnieces, and they move from the Ukraine into Germany now. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you do have nieces?
I got some letters already from one of them.
What we need to do is, when we're finished with our conversation, we need to get some of those addresses down, because at North Dakota State University, many of the articles that we've had published in the newspapers or presentations, we translate those to German and to Russian, because we know that many of the younger people
mm-hmm.
that are, and the younger people that are of German-Russian descent that live in the former Soviet Union can't read German anymore. So they know only Russian, but it's important that they know of what it was like and what's happened in America with all of these people
mm-hmm.
and what we're doing over here, because that's important for their history, because they couldn't, they couldn't study much about it, and so that's kind of a gap. They don't know unless they had correspondence or renewed correspondence like you have. They don't realize the history of so many came to North America.
Right.
And not that we're trying to tell them that we have a much better life than we do, but just to give them a little history and a little hope. And then some families, of course, are helping them somewhat economically and sending them a dollar or two or sending them items. That we have good examples of that.
Yeah.
So we'll need to visit about that later in getting some of those addresses, because maybe we can pursue some interviews someday of some of those people that have come back, some of your relatives,
mm-hmm.
to Germany
mm-hmm.
when I'm there in August of 93, which
mm-hmm.
will be in just a few months. We'll have to pursue that.
August, that isn't that far away.
I know. But I think we'll close our conversation. Any final words you want to leave with us?
I don't know.
Just anything you'd like to say on this... I know it's a new experience for both of us. It's the first experience for me speaking with someone in North Dakota
really?
That came over in,
mm-hmm.
Came to America in 51 and actually lived in a village,
mm-hmm.
In the Black Sea, and then, of course, remembers the times when the church was closed and then opened again. So you have those memories of your seeing the church closed and then opening again in a strong Catholic family. It must have been quite a day for your parents when that church opened again.
It was tear shedding too, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just happy that I'm here in the United States, that they took me in for and give me a citizen, and I have a nice family here. I'm really happy about that.
Yes,
and grandchildren.
Right, and you can help us in preserving this heritage by informing us about people who we may want to interview, or if you have any photographs and things like that to add to our collection at the university. So I think we're going to end our conversation. This is Michael M. Miller, Germans from Russia bibliographer at North Dakota State University, and it was a pleasure to be in the Huck home to visit with Monica about her life in Siberia and Ukraine, and then back to Germany, and now in America. Thank you.